I am Valentin Fuster from Jack, issue of October the 13th of 2015. The state-of-the-art paper today is a council perspective. I am talking about a paper generated by the Leadership Council of Electrophysiology at the American College of Cardiology. This outstanding review is entitled Arrhythmia-Induced Cardiomyopathies, Mechanisms, Recognition, and Management. Dr. Rakesh Gopinathanar from the University of Louisville is the leading author of this paper, who has a number of world-recognized clinical investigators, particularly in the field of electrophysiology. I will divide my brief summary in four aspects. The first is historical. The second is the importance of the issue. The third are specifics of this document, and the fourth is about the future. First, about historical background. The original and key paper was published in the American Journal of Medicine in 1949 by Dr. Phillips Levine and was entitled Auricular Fibrillation Without Other Evidence of Heart Disease, a Reversible Cause of Heart Failure. Was Dr. Levine the first that associated rapid atrial fibrillation with a reversible form of heart failure? Subsequently, other types of atrial tachyarrhythmia, as well as ventricular arrhythmias with frequent ventricular extrasystoles, for example, or recurrent ventricular tachycardia, have been found that frequently contribute to ventricular dysfunction, particularly left ventricular dysfunction, although the right ventricle can also be involved but has not been studied so precisely as the left ventricle in such condition of tachyarrhythmias. The second aspect is about the importance or impact of such arrhythmias in heart failure. Indeed, tachyarrhythmias and frequent ventricular extrasystoles remain an important cause of non-ischemic cardiomyopathy and manifest heart failure that is partially or completely reversible with control of the arrhythmia. However, this condition remains under-recognized, often leading to worsening heart failure and deterioration of left ventricular function. Given that limited therapeutic options exist for advanced heart failure patients, the ability to detect a potentially reversible cause is critical. Raising awareness about this condition is paramount. The third aspect that I want to comment on is about some specifics of this excellent, and I repeat excellent, state-of-the-art review, which deals with mechanisms, diagnosis, current management strategies, and prognosis of arrhythmia-induced cardiomyopathy. I will make five statements that I believe summarize the paper. First, arrhythmia-induced cardiomyopathy is a potentially reversible condition in which left ventricular dysfunction is induced or mediated by atrial or ventricular arrhythmias. Of course, we already commented about this. Second, cellular and extracellular changes in response to the culprit arrhythmia have been identified, but the specific pathophysiological mechanisms remain unclear. Third, early recognition of arrhythmia-induced cardiomyopathy and prompt treatment of the culprit arrhythmia using pharmacological or ablative techniques results in symptoms resolution and recovery of ventricular function. Fourth, although cardiomyopathy in response to an arrhythmia may take months to years to develop, recurrent arrhythmia can result in rapid decline in ventricular function with development of heart failure, suggesting residual ultrastructural abnormalities. And fifth, reports of sudden death in patients whose left ventricular ejection fraction have normalized cast doubt of the complete reversibility of this condition. After such specifics, let's now talk about the fourth aspect, about the future. There is little question, as pointed out by the authors, that basic and clinical investigations have shed light on the etiology, pathophysiology, clinical features, treatment, and prognosis of arrhythmia-induced cardiomyopathies. However, as they point out, several gaps in our understanding still exist. The true incidence and prevalence need to be defined. Future research should focus on specific pathophysiological mechanisms for cardiomyopathy in relation to a particular arrhythmia. Identifying clinical, genetic, and demographic characteristics that predispose a particular individual to arrhythmia-induced cardiomyopathy in the setting of a specific culprit arrhythmia will be crucial for early recognition of this disease process before cardiomyopathy develops. Questions still exist concerning optimal therapeutic strategies. For example, the authors point out several. Is rhythm control really better than rate control for improving long-term outcomes in atrial fibrillation-mediated arrhythmia-induced cardiomyopathy? How can we best prevent residual orthostructural abnormalities? What are the interrelationships between structural heart disease, arrhythmia, and risk of sudden death? From my personal point of view, this paper reminds me to what I learned over many years, for example, about conditions as dissection of the aorta. The question of dissection of the aorta is to recognize that this may be the condition on any patient who present to us with chest pain. So if we don't think about it, we might miss dissection. The same happens with patients who present with left ventricular dysfunction. Do we ever think that this could be related to silent tachyarrhythmias with frequent ventricular extrasystoles? To me, to recognize such aspect on any patient that we see with cardiac dysfunction, it is already a great message. I repeat, this is an outstanding review. Thank you.